But the other thing is, and I forgot to bring this up to you guys, I think we should also, like, all come with a story of somebody fucking dying. I hate to say that, but... Or, if it's not about somebody dying, maybe it's a story
no,
about...
No, I think that's... Yeah, I agree.
A funny story about, yeah. like... Because, like, I have a good one about Mike Weiland. You know, I'm sure mm-hmm. you have them about... And then the person ends up dead. I think it kind of helps. Yeah.
No, yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think the consequences are kind of good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that so very much. No, it. Just kidding. No, I do. I mean, I that's the thing, right? We're threading a bit of that needle, trying to figure out. But I think it is important to remind people that even though it's all kind of shits and giggles, it's like, how many times have you felt lucky?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Not even... Just not in it. I got to be honest. It's like not even about. I've made so many more mistakes that were unrelated to anything that I was taking. Just bad ideas I got in my head because my brain's broken.
Was it Danny? Know? Was it you said we should all have shit stories? Who said that?
Was it me? Oh yeah, because we were talking about Jeff. Jeff in the wedding dress fucking story.
Shit oh my stories? God. What yeah. does that mean?
Shit stories.
Dude, because, well.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Dude.
I'm over here talking about, I'm just talking about, that. I'm not going to lead in and go, hey, we should have shit stories. All right.
Mike's idea sucks. Let's go with shit stories.
Yeah, let's go with stories. Shit stories.
Take shit Whatever. Stories for 200, Charlie.
Charlie, exactly. No, what do you mean? Like poop stories?
Yeah, like emergency shit. But the sad thing is.
Oh, dude.
The ones we have are all like not loaded.
I
have
you. Yeah. I got it.
I have some good. Dude, I shit in the smokehouse parking lot. I shit in the planter. Next
Listen,
to the-
I crapped up in Canada about a month ago. Crapped my pants. I was out there doing a commercial and not sure what happened, really. Got yeah. a little travel tummy. Went and was like, a little travel tummy. I'm like, well, I don't care. It's been a long day, and I'm going to go get a fucking, I'm going to get some dinner. And I went, and I had the dinner, and it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Some steakhouse in the hotel. And then everything I thought was cool, I went outside. I smoked a lit a joint, and you can do that anywhere up there. I bought it there. I bought it without providing any kind of passport or anything, just a nothing. They just looked at me and sold it to me for $10. And at a little store,
like a bodega or like a weed,
no, like a little weed boutique. Like it's so civilized, it's ridiculous. And they're like
Vancouver.
They don't vape. They don't do the vape shit, which I was kind of like right on. Like they're like, yeah, smoke fucking weed. So we, you know, whatever. I was like, oh, I'm gonna hit it off this joint. And I did, and I coughed, crap my pants, crap my pants right there, and I had to hightail it back into the hotel. And I, fortunately, I think I had a blazer on and I was like, well, I think we should be all right. And, made it back up and, you know, the rest.
Yeah.
And we've all been there, but that wasn't dignified. I don't
tell
think.
Him Jeff's.
I mean, I can't tell it as good as Jeff tells it.
Yeah.
You know? We just got to have him on. Yeah. We got to have him on we'll to tell us. On. Yeah. He's got some good ones.
You It'll know? Happen. Yeah. You know, you cross 45 and. What used to be a clear bet, no, it becomes a 50-50 fucking gamble.
It's weird. I find it hard to believe I didn't tell Mike, because I know I've told Frankum some of them, but like about seven, maybe even fucking 10 years ago, I had a thing where I think I had IBS for about a year and a half. I'm not sure. It wasn't all the time, but I'm talking like mostly I'd be on the 134 and like all of a sudden like I'd get a weird stomach cramp, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, I got a shit. And I'm just always obsessed with not shitting my pants. And dude, Alexis
not
got,
a bad thing to be
Alexis
into.
Got mad and was fucking yelling at me because I would pull over on the 134. This is like 8 a.m. going to Universal. I'd pull over on the side and I'd run out and lean on the front of my car. Like my lower back would be against the license plate and I'd take a shit because I figured I didn't have to make eye contact with people on my side of the freeway. It's just the other people.
Right.
And Alex is like, you're going to get fucking killed. And he's kind of right, because if somebody fucking, you know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Did you, how'd you, how do you?
But I always have baby wipes in the car.
Oh.
For my kit. Is that the question?
A little. Yeah, nice that job. Was a bit of yeah. the question. And then what do you, are you slipping? What, and then you just get right back into the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time I was doing this job with Randy. And I go to, Charlie will know this. Okay. You know that part in the South Bay where it's like, it's the beach, but it's actually Torrance. It's a small beach.
Mm.
It's actually Torrance.
Mm.
So we're shooting on a Saturday morning. This is during that period. And I'm down there. And all of a sudden, I'm like in line because it was like a low budget thing. So we're parking in that the beach parking lot. Mm-hmm. But we're in line. You have to pay to get in or whatever.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, man. You know, I'm like the eighth car. Like, I'm not going to make it. I don't know where the beach bathrooms are.
I'm not going to make it.
And I'm like. Fuck it, I look in my car and I had not a Nike shoebox, but you know, the box that the Nike, the shipping box from yeah. Nike that the shoebox came in. I was like, so I grab it and I keep my place in the line and I slide it under myself on the driver's seat and I just, you know, fucking, it's a bloodbath. I just fucking basically fucking fill a pie tin up.
Bloodbath.
I take
all
a shit
right.
in the box.
All right, no, the pie pan.
So I pull the box of shit out, wipe it clean.
You've said that before. You go to that pie pan. That is a troubled story.
So I'm sitting there and I pull through. The most surreal thing is paying the guy. I mean, you know, giving the guy my name while there's a box of shit riding shotgun.
Oh.
And then I pull in and I'm like, all right, I got to find a trash can to throw this box of shit away. But the box, you know, is about 18 inches by 18 inches. That won't fit in the beach trash can thing. So I had to just rest it gingerly on top.
I swear to God, I want to cry right now. That is so disturbing. Nah, but it happens. Listen, it happens. It happened to me not long ago. But it's definitely a game ender.
Yeah.
It is definitely like all things that you were doing before. Like there was no, I had a little bravura when I walked into the restaurant, like, oh, my tummy feels a little funny. Now let's go throw a fucking half pound of beef on it and see how it does. And you know, like I had some dreams and those dreams were just like, oh, really? Okay, cool. How's this? And it was so not cute. Just doing the fucking turkey trot. Back to the elevator.
Dude, I've got so many rowdy ones.
I know we were talking about death stories, but
let's hold off on death stories. I mean, I have a dark one, but let's save the death stories for
another time.
Yeah.
Word.
Let's remap it.
Word.
All right.
I do have one about receiving swollen property, which is a little bit different than receiving stolen property. And it's a pretty dark story.
Oh, fuck.
Swollen property.
Heat seeker. So.
Fuck.
Okay. So in about 95, there was this guy, and he was from like a well-to-do family, and he had a house in like San Dimas, which is like the next city over. Anyway, I can't remember who I met
from
him
where? From. From where? Covina?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But. Anyway, this guy Kurt and we went over to his. I can't remember who took me over there. It doesn't really matter, but like I go over there and he's a nice guy. But he, you know, it's like he was kind of like he was from a good family, so he had this house.
You gotta be with a name like Kurt.
Yeah,
you don't get that name. Some dickhead don't name you Kurt.
But they were, you know, he had this house and like by the time I was there, like he was already trying to learn how to make speed and. He bought a tattoo machine and was fucking like tattooing himself, you know, but he's a nice dude, but we'd be partying and he had a Harley in the living room and, you know, he had guns and shit, just all the shit, you know, kind of the goals that you want to get when you're doing speed. Like he had a lot of stuff, you know, cause he had money or whatever came from money. Anyway, so we're like getting loaded and hanging out. And then this girl was over there and she was kind of, it's not that she was bad news, but she had a boyfriend who was in prison, Billy, and like he was fucking bad news, you know, like, and dangerous. And like, I saw her over there, you know, and I was like, and I told dude, I'm like, are you fucking around with her? You know, and he's like, yeah, I go, man, you know, her old man's going to get out soon. It's fucking, you know what I mean? Like, there's a dark side to this drug world, you know, and, he's like, oh, it's cool or whatever. And I didn't think nothing of it. And anyway, so I would be, you know, hanging out there. You know, it's like a handful of us hanging out there doing drugs and shit. Anyway, I go over there and dude had gotten out, old girl's boyfriend. And apparently he had caught wind. I don't even know if he caught wind they were fucking around, but he knew that dude had stuff in the house. And dude's just, he's from El Monte. He's just gangster. And he comes over there. when I go over the house, I knock on the door and dude opens the door. He's got a black eye. And I could just see he's kind of terrified, like really scared, you know? I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, no, you by yourself? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I come in, it's him and another dude. And I'm in there and I'm like, fuck, like a lot of stuff is missing. The Harley's gone. You know, this rifle that was on the wall is gone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I could tell. It's not like the furniture wasn't there, but you know what I mean? I could tell like
something
like,
had happened.
Yeah. And he's like, that fucking Billy dude came, you know, he robbed me and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, fuck, what? I'm like, oh, man, you know. And, you know, took everything of value, basically. So the other dude tells me, he goes, man, I go, what the fuck happened? He goes, Billy showed up here. He goes, dude wasn't there, but, you know, Kurt was by himself. But dude shows up, fucking beats him up, you know, sticks his curling iron up his butt and rolls him up in a carpet and just leaves him for fucking dead. You know what I mean? Huh. But he was obviously alive because I knocked on the door. And like I said, he answered. But like, you know, it was fucked up.
Yeah. Wait. This dude came over who had just gotten out of prison.
Yeah.
And he...
who's since hung himself. Go ahead.
Rest in peace.
Well.
He beat the man up.
Yeah.
And shoved a curling iron in his ass.
Mm-hmm.
That's
then
wild.
Then rolled him up in a, yeah, wow.
And rolled him up in a carpet. But, what, so that he couldn't move, so he couldn't, like, basically get wiggle free.
Yeah, I think he was leaving him for dead is what it seems
he
like.
He thought he beat him so hard that he thought he'd killed him.
I don't think he thought he killed him, but, you know, I'm thinking he rolled him up in that carpet thinking, you know, you probably can't breathe in there and shit.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But.
Jesus.
Anyway, yeah, no, he was terrified, but I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like, dude, you should try getting out of this world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, fuck, man. Like, you had a good family. I don't know, whatever. I'm sure he got it together. But a few months later, I was at this lady's house, another tweaker lady. And I had asked her where something went. Like, oh, is there a blanket in here or something? She goes, yeah, look in that closet. And I open the closet. And, dude, she yells from the other room. It's like, dude, this is probably 4 miles from that from his house. She goes, don't touch that curling iron. It's the one that was in Kurt's ass. And I'm like... hold on a minute. Number one, that means somebody transported that thing here. That's the first problem. Second problem, why in the fuck are you keeping it? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, a curling iron's been stuck
someone
in someone's
else's
rectum.
Ass. What was she saving that for?
I don't know. She didn't answer me.
Memento, yeah.
But
that curling iron.
It's not always it's fun in games, here, that methamphetamine.
Yeah, fuck.
No. Glamour. Yeah. Always glamour.
Always glamorous.
Kurt. Had that.
Never know when you got a curl.
You never know when you need to curl the inside of your ass,
too.
Oh, man.
Fuck. Fuck. All right. I got one that just popped into my head the other day. So I was living in Hollywood, and I was moving around a bit, and I ended up back in fucking Hollywood, which I hated. Like, I hated Hollywood, and then I ended up there for kind of like the last few years of me getting high.
And
then,
what part of Hollywood?
Oh, like Hollywood. Like, this was off of Selma and Wilcox. I was I was kind of stuck by Plaboy. By Plaboy liquor.
Dude, yep. Plaboy. Yeah. I used to go to Plaboy on the way up to the I worked at a post-production place, and I used to have to go to an off-site vault, and we'd stop by Plaboy for a couple of tall boys on the way to sitting around you know, putting tapes on shelves. That's hilarious. Gold Diggers.
Yeah. Yep.
Demon land. Mm-hmm. It's always been nothing but fucking Night of the Living Dead over
oh,
there.
Always. That fucking always. Corner, you know, right there. I mean, and it's weird because I've lived in so many, like Gilbert and I lived in this one place. Like, I had another spot, and it was like, I've probably lived in every one of those weird apartment complexes there at some point. And I think this was the last one I lived in right there was, so I was making edibles, and I don't know how I met this dude or like what I was even doing. Like, I have no clue how I met this dude. But he was here from Chicago, and I started selling him edibles. And he was, like, out here on a job or something. He was, like, an aspiring actor, you know? So he had, like, a pretty nice... I forgot what the fucking building's called, but it was right there on Wilcox, just south of Yucca, in between Hollywood and Yucca on
I know exactly where you are. I don't know.
There's, like, the two complexes that look the same.
Yes,
they're kind of like,
and they
that's
have
like,
those weird gray big stone, yes, right? Like, it's made yes, of, like, that L.A.-style, Normandy-style stone. Where yes. It's like, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I somehow met him,
Did you, the Trilon Hotel.
Oh, I got a fucked up Trilon story. I'm gonna add that to my list. Oh my god!
I'll just say I did a bad thing at the Trilon.
Dude,
once.
I did a bad thing.
Nothing good could happen in that
Trilon?
Hotel. Dude, the Trilon is just it is so demonic that the night that I went out there to meet a lady was. I drove by it multiple times, like being like, no, there's not a chance in hell that I could ever go. That can't possibly be the place. Is that possibly the place? I wound up driving. There's that big, crazy, weird Holiday Inn that used to be up on the hill, that big ass Holiday Inn. And I even drove up there and I was like, regrettably, this isn't it. It is the Trilon. It's a bummer, man. It's dark. But
so
anyway, Trilon's right off of.
Is it what? It's Cahuenga.
Yeah.
And Yucca. There's that little cleaners right there in the UPS.
You know,
right off, and it's like right next
to that
it.
Quadrant.
You would
of
never
the
think
world
it's a fucking
that I
home.
Happen to go to a shit ton just because I fucking worked at this place that had a storage facility, and I also like directed a one woman show at a little theater thing that was near there. That little area is like St. Mark's Place in the 70s, and it will never fucking
never.
Come up.
Cahuenga
never
and Yucca by Capitol Records.
They try to shove restaurants.
No,
in there
a Capitol
all the
Records
time.
Is on Vine.
Okay.
They always try
Cafe
to like
Solar.
You ever there's a hotel there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
they
it's not a hotel by
it's not
any.
A hotel.
Is it that big building that's north of Solar Cafe?
It's on the other side of the street. It's not that big. It looks like an old fucking rundown apartment building.
Dude, it is the architectural personification of crack and AIDS. Like I'm sorry to say it, but it really is like when I literally was like, I drove by that hotel twice, being like, no way it's over there. No, I'm not going in there. No, and then next thing you know, I'm just at the door of the Trilon, just saying, hey. Look at me. Look
and the motherfuckers that work there, they just like, they just pass out. They're like sleeping.
Dude,
fucking
no
dude,
way.
Yeah. That fool, the fool at the desk wouldn't even want to, whatever. Anyway,
I got, I
that's
have
another
yeah.
story.
Yeah, I got another story
right,
about
go,
that
go,
place.
Go, go, go. Sorry,
yeah,
sorry, sorry.
Another, yeah, because it's a, I don't
I went
know.
On. I
yeah.
love that little neighborhood for some reason.
Me
I know
too.
It's so
it's
weird.
It's so dark
it's
and fucked
fucking
up.
So, but it is St. Mark's Place in the 70s forever.
Forever.
Like it is just forever trouble. Anyway.
Gilbert and I have some fucking wild stories there.
Yucca. Selma.
But I met this dude from Chicago that was out here like trying to be an aspiring actor, you know, or maybe a comedian or something, you know. And I was making edibles at the time, and I started selling him edibles. And he had like a lot of cash, you know, so he would come and like I could sell him. I was selling him to dispensaries, but every once in a while you found a fool that would like want to buy them at retail price. So now I'm getting double what I would get selling him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to send these back to Chicago. Can I get like 100 of these? And I'm so all of a sudden, rather than making like $200, I'm making like 500 cash, you know. And I'm like, this is fucking great. And then wherever I was staying, I lost that place because that's just kind of what happens when you're fucking strung out and smoking insane amounts of meth every day, you know. At some point the manager or the landlord or the person subletting to you kind of catches wind and they're like, you know what, we'd rather not have you here anymore. And you fight it, you know, tooth and nail to stay there. But so this dude's moving back to Chicago, and I just lost my place, and he was like, and I was like, dude, yeah, something. Like I didn't, you know, it's an embarrassing thing to be like, well, I'm coming home, Will. So man, I think I was staying at the Motel 6 right there, you know, that's another fucking dark place, you know. And and he was like, oh man, I'm leaving to Chicago.
They leave the light on for you. They leave the light on all fucking night for you.
And he's like, hey, he's like, I have this apartment that I've been, you know, it was like one of those like furnished fucking rentals. He's like, I was renting it. I got it paid through the end of the month. And it's like the 7th or the 8th. He goes, dude, if you want to just hook me up with a bunch of edibles to send back, I'll give you the keys to it. And I was like, oh, word? Yeah. cool, let's do this, you know? So I get the keys and we, you know, he goes back and I'm like, you know, I move in my girlfriend who ended up being my fiance for a while after that. And like, then I, like one by one, the homies start showing up, you know, it's like just one. And
tribal.
Oh yeah. And I realized that, like, you know, that when you're there, you're like, all right, I have 3 weeks or, you know, 23 days here, which sounds like a fucking an eternity. But as time keeps going, like, you know, you literally blink your fucking eyes and it's like the first and all of a sudden you got to be out of there. And I was like, fuck, I got to ride this out a little longer. So I don't know. You know, somebody like, you know, people tell you weird shit. And somebody, I remember telling you about renter's rights, you know, and being like, you got renter's rights or like squatter's rights, you know? And I was like, what the fuck? So I go online. I'm fucking tweaking hard, you know, because we have like less than 24 hours to get out of there. And I find out all this information about squatter's rights. And so one of the things was if you have a rental agreement, they got to take you to court. And then the other thing is you got to come up with receipts saying that you've been paying the rent there, you know? So sure enough, I go to fucking Staples right down the street, right on, you know, Wilcox and Sunset. And I get the little receipt pad, you know? And then I find like, you know, I Google rental agreement on there and I make up a rental agreement between me and this guy that fucking just was being a fucking genuine nice guy and letting me live in his home because I didn't have anywhere to go. And I come up with a rental agreement stating that I have a 6-month lease and I have receipts where I've paid him for a portion of that 6 months. So now I have the keys, you know, so I'm legally a tenant there. So now these motherfuckers got to evict me, you know, and we end up riding that motherfucker, you know, riding that wave for quite some time.
And you lived in that person's house.
Oh, yeah. Until
a shared living situation. Did you share a kitchen with that person?
Oh, he left to Chicago.
Oh, my God.
And he just left me the keys. And then so then the landlord started. Well, then like the management company comes and then they sent their people. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Like, I paid this guy. Here's my rental agreement. Here's the, you know, I have bank statements of where the transaction, you know, I would sit there on Photoshop and fucking do just the insanity that comes with. Dude. Amphetamines, you know, yeah. And a little bit of Photoshop knowledge, like a high school Photoshop class.
What would they say?
What can they say? You know, so then they start the eviction process, you know, but like, fuck, you know, all right, cool. Like, you know, take me to court. I have the documents that I've been paying, you know, and, but in that time, it's like when you're like the people, you know, the people of the night, you know, the other people of the night in the area start, you know, you start meeting friends, you know, and, yeah. So I met like all the other weirdos that lived in that. And there was one complex and there was another one across the street. And little key fob got you into both of them. You know, one had a pool, the other one didn't. So you could like go back and forth and you start meeting people. We met this kid that lived downstairs that, you know, fancied a little cocaine use here and there and started buying coke. You know, I was like, oh, dude, I can get coke. You know, like, cool. I got a new friend. You know?
Yeah. And, hello, friend.
Hey, how's it going? And, so I started selling him coke, and then at some point he was like a weird DJ kid, you know, like his parents were paying for his unit, and one day he came over and he was like, hey man, I don't got any money, but my parents are sending me a check like tomorrow. Can you front me an 8-ball? And I was like, fuck, I don't front, you know. And my friend was like, don't ever front anybody, you know. And I was like, oh, fuck, I know where he lives. Like, he's literally like downstairs from us. Like, fucking take it, just leave me. Like, he wouldn't stop bugging me. He was like, please, I can't. And I was like, fuck, just here, this will shut him up, you know. So I fronted it to him, and Hans was the one that, like, he gave me the coke, and then he was like, he comes back, and I'm like, oh, yeah, dude, downstairs. He's like, you fucking fronted this motherfucker. What's wrong with you? And I'm like, oh, he'll get us back. And, like, a few days pass, and as this is all happening, like, the date of the, you know, the eviction hearing is coming up and all this shit, and I'm like, we're going to go to court and actually fight it, you know? It's like 90 because it's a 90-day process from when they file before the court date, you know? And so it's, like, 4 months into us living there, and it's like the night or two nights before, and I'm just like, fuck, that cocksucker still hasn't paid me the fucking, the you know, however much it was for the 8-ball of cocaine. Hans comes over. He's like, you need to go and tax that fool right now. Like, you know, we know he's got turntables and a laptop. You're like, you either got to go get the money or get something of value from him, you know? And I was like, all right. So I go and fucking knock on the guy's door. No answer, you know? And I knock on the door, and we could see the TV was on inside of the place, yeah. You know? And I was like, Hans, fucking give me a boost, you know? And he's like, all right, fuck it. So we go around the front of the building, and there's like security guards that watch the building, you know? We're like, we don't give a fuck, you know, whatever. And he boosts me up, and I come, you know, and I just remember like coming up over the fucking, like the balcony, you know, he jumps up, and the sliding glass door was like shut, but we like, you know, like when you wiggle it, and then you fucking, you know, Jimmy rigged it open, and we come in and I just look around and there's just that gut feeling that something wrong happened here. You know, there's that weird smell. Mm. And we start looking around and there's like a plate of food on the table with maggots coming out of it. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Man. Like something happened here, you know, like fuck. And they're like, and he looks at me and I look at him and we're like, fuck, like we got to get this. We got to get this DJ equipment out of here before somebody fucking before somebody. And then we're like, oh, fuck. But if we do that, then like, you know, and we're kind of freaking out because like we, you know, like there's like a something on the bed and we don't know. Like we're like, fuck, is that the body? You know, like, is that the dude? You know, so we kind of like look, or, you know, and it's nighttime and we're trying to like be low key in the dark. So we find the dude's keys, you know, and we took the laptop and we took, there was just like keys and we're like, fuck, did he, you know, like we didn't go investigate to like check under the bed or anything, you know, and whatever. We just kind of like left, you know, we took the laptop, maybe something else. Like he had like a little like Serato set or something, you know, like the DJ shit, but not the turntables.
Did you see him on the bed?
No. I mean, we saw, we were kind of like trying to look away from there, you know, we're like, fuck that, you know, but like,
all right, but I'm sorry, I'm not to hold you to the fire here, but wait a second. What were you looking away from?
Oh, we just, we didn't, I mean, if there was a body there, we didn't want that on our conscience,
right.
You know?
Right, so, right, right. So you were just like, I don't want to look over in that area. I don't want to even see in that room.
I'm going to take your keys anyway, just in case we want to come back later, you know? So next day, you know, or a few days later, whatever, the court thing comes up and we miss it, obviously, you know, and with the fucking management company. I ended up getting into like a gnarly fight with one of the security, like the maintenance guys there. He like ran up on me right in front of Popeyes on Hollywood and like cracked me in the back of the head, and like I had to go get, like, it was crazy, you know. It was a whole, like, there was a lot of drama that went into this, and we get evicted out of the place, you know, that we
so
never
many
were.
Questions my god, that's amazing. The maintenance man of the
maintenance
place,
man, yeah,
ran up on you.
Oh yeah, ran up out of nowhere. Like I'm standing there on the corner and I just fucking feel somebody fucking cracking me in the back of the head, and I come flying forward and it's him, and I look up and it's him. He was like, that's right, pussy, you know. And I was like, how am I a pussy? I'm waiting for a fucking, you know, for a two-piece meal at Popeye's. And you just dope fiended me in the back of the head. Like, not even like, what? You know, what planet are you on? But so we get kicked out and I'm sitting there with Sasha and like we have all of our stuff and we're sitting on the street and it's like noon and we don't have anywhere to go. And I'm like, fuck, what are we going to do? And
oh, you finally get kicked out. Yeah.
Yeah, we finally get kicked out. And I remember just like feeling my pockets and being like, oh, what's that? And remembering that I have a key to the unit downstairs.
How many days later?
It's maybe 3-4 days after, you know, like that. So we're like, fuck, well, don't got nowhere else to go, you know.
Fuck.
And we literally just got evicted by the management company and secure and the police. The fucking police came and kicked us out of that fucking place. And like the second they left and it like, you know, it calmed down a little. It's like, well, we're going right back in. And we walk in and we walk into his place and the maggots are still there. Now it's daytime. We look around. Nobody. Like there's no, you know, there's no human there. And we're like, word, I guess we're moving in here, you know, and ended up living there for like another fucking 2 months in that unit downstairs.
And he never showed up.
He disappeared, like gone.
And how did you escape the people who were around?
Oh, we were like, oh, it was fucking, it was, to us, it was like a, it was
a
like
mission.
A, yeah, it was a mission. It was like a Pac-Man game where it's like, the motherfuckers are coming for you, you know, but at night we're fucking, we're eating the
just
cherries and coming
and
back for them. Yeah.
Wow. But yeah,
sneaking in and out. I mean, it was insane. We're like, you know, like, but we're not.
I bet he went to rehab.
Huh?
Yeah. I bet he went to rehab.
That's what we think, his parents sent him to rehab, you know, but everything was left there. And like, sure enough, we fucking sold the equipment. Then a few days later, Hans comes over and he goes, dog, look what I got. And he has another set of keys. And I'm like, what's that? He goes, dude, the guys are working on the unit across the hall and they were painting it. And I saw the keys in the door. So now we
no way.
And we cleaned that motherfucker out. We sold the fridge and the stove out of there. I mean, it's crazy,
dude.
It's fucking crazy. I think, you know, he rehab, or his parents came and like snatched him up or something.
I think they sent him to rehab or took him home. But because if they snatched him to take him home, you know, they would have came and got all the shit. But, yeah, you know, if they sent him to some rehab, they're probably like, well, he can go to his apartment when he gets out.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be pedestrian here, but how do you sell the stove out of a joint?
Oh, easy.
Oh, yeah.
How?
You fucking, all you have to do is unplug the gas and.
Like, no, oh, I know how to disconnect a stove physically. I'm saying, how do you market it?
Craigslist.
Oh yeah, Craigslist. Oh,
you sell anything? You're just like, I got a stove.
Yeah,
and people would come. Oh,
and
right.
It's like a new stove.
Craigslist
new
was around at this point, of course.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So you gotta remember, bingo, his, yeah, like, this is like 2003. All right, yeah, no. We didn't have that. But yes, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people come over and they're like, "I'll buy that stove."
Mm-hmm. I have a weird one. I was at this. There's a couple of tweakers. Like the, it's in San Dimas on the border of, you know, like Covina and San Dimas. But there's a Red Roof Inn that when I was getting loaded with something different. Now it's a Red Roof Inn. You know, of course, right by the freeway. You know, and there's
roof.
A Motel 6.
The Red Roof Inn.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the
yeah.
Motel 6 was like
only the best for my dog.
I'm not sure. You know what's weird is the Motel 6 was just kind of the hotel for people from Covina and San Dimas. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There was other ones in West Covina, like the Walnut Inn and shit. But for some reason, like the go-to for us was that Motel 6. But we were in there. I was in this. I had gotten this room there and shit. And I'm like on a good one, you know, and I'm tripping on shit. And I'm like just looking around the room. You know what I mean? And there's a, you know how the bed connects to the floor? You know, it's all the way down. You know, it's not like on a box ring. And there's that fabric and there was a hole in it. And I'm like, fucking somebody hit a clavo under here, mm-hmm. you know? So I fucking.
What's a clavo?
Like just a stash, you know, or something.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Because there was a hole and it's on the side by the wall. Do you know what I mean? So I lay down there and I'm like fucking reaching around and there's like, I'm not finding anything. Then I fucking feel the butt of a gun. And I'm like, holy shit. And I even stopped. I'm like, I don't know if I should pull this out or whatever. And also, I'm like, it's really fucking light. And I pull it out, and it's just a giant purple dildo.
Oh, man.
It wasn't a gun. And I have a feeling it hadn't been cleaned. I'm not saying, like, it didn't, you know what I mean? But I was like, somebody was like, oh, shit, they're coming, and threw it under there. And
yeah,
I was like,
Reno?
Yeah.
What the fuck's my day? I gotta get out of here,
yeah. Dude. Fucking, I was. You can imagine, Danny. You know, you're like, I'm positive I'm gonna find like somebody's drugs.
Yeah,
it seemed like the cops came and somebody fucking punched.
And
a hole
why
in
do
it.
You call it a clavo? What's that?
That's just a Spanish word for, you know, the stash.
Oh.
The clavo.
Oh, no shit. Mm-hmm. Learn something new every day here at the United Nations.
The a dictionary.
Well, I don't have the only story I have is my for the night is that's a tough one. I'm just not ready to tell it. It's terrible. it's terrible. I admit it. I'm sorry. I feel like a hypocrite. I'm just not ready to tell that Trilon story.
You know what's fucked up is I don't know if I want to tell my Trilon story either. You know, it's just
it's
mine.
Such a-
mine is like fucked up because there's like statute of limitation shit, and it's like one of the. Like, you know, off the record, like craziest things. Like it was like a James Bond fucking moment.
Something you did?
Yeah. At the Trilon.
Oh, that wasn't the Trilon you were talking about?
What do you mean? No. That was just at an apartment building down the street.
Okay.
Mine's like fucked up. But it's like the stuff that was done there can, I don't know, you know, like federal offense type of shit.
How long are you sober?
What's up?
How long is over?
4 years. Mm. And I don't know how long. It was maybe 4 or 5 years prior to that. I don't know. You know? Yeah.
I know this is it's absurd. Like, well, I'll talk about this. I'll say this one thing. You know, it's an interesting thing, right? Like, I do feel hesitation, and right? And it feels super fucking hypocritical, right? Because you ask people to come on here and they tell their stories. But there are certain things that, like, I've thought about this, right? I've thought about what if my mom hears this podcast, right? And she did see. She did notice that there was like, she's like, I saw your tag. She's on Instagram, you know, and she was like, I saw your tag. And I send her stuff on Instagram, you know,
yeah.
Nice, normal things. But she saw somehow me linked somehow to it's all bad. You know, what is that? What's that? You know, prompted. What is that? What is that you're working on? What is that? I said, and I told her I'm working on a podcast. What is the podcast? And I said, this is not for you. And I said, you know, and I don't ever, you know, I've done movies that I thought were, you know, weird and stuff. And I've shown you that, you know, and you know, I did the Crime Town thing and I was like, you know, I was fine with that, and I'm like, but this is not for you. It terrifies me, the notion of the amount of concern that it would.
You've turned out pretty well, but I don't think your mom's ready to hear about prostitutes. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah,
that's a different beast.
It's a little
with our
bit
mothers,
of,
you know.
It's a little bit of a different
dead bodies
beast.
Fine.
To a certain degree, right? Like it's very much like, oh God, I'd hate to have her sit there and just be like, my God, the shame of that. Now, in the same breath that I say that, you know, I know that that's foolish, and a time will come where I'll be able to talk to you about the Trilon.
Yeah.
What happened at the Trilon?
What happened at the Trilon stays at the Trilon. They should change it to the Triloin, because it's like the tenderloin. Just three loins.
I will tell you, okay, I have a story. I have a story that's very interesting. I will tell you about the time, and politically I hope this is okay,
mm-hmm.
but it falls under the category of not what I bargained for, not what I planned on.
Sounds great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wound up years ago. There was a thing that was called the X. What do they call it? What's the fucking newspaper that they used to have out here?
L.A. Express.
L.A. Express.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
And you'd find. Yeah,
I don't know how you're alive.
My inner Reno comes out.
L.A. Express, right?
L.A. Express.
And in there was where you'd find women of the evening, women of the afternoon, women of the brunching people.
It's ladies' night.
It's ladies' night all there, right? So I hopped up on goofballs and of some kind. And I really don't even remember what, but I was having a hell of a time. This is like probably around 95, 94. And I was living in Hollywood at the time.
Where in Hollywood?
For about 6 months. Vista and Melrose.
Oh, nice.
Mm.
And I found an ad, and I thought, you know, what do I know? I'm like, this seems fine. Like, this seems like someone who seems to want to, you know, blah, 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 sell some fun times with them. So I go over, and I'm standing outside this apartment complex, and there's this, like, young, like, I would say probably he was in his 20s and I was probably in my mid-20s, but he was a young guy, Asian dude, who was just standing there outside smoking cigarettes. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. We're just standing here, a couple of guys smoking cigarettes in front of a, you know, prostitute's house. It seems like she is a prostitute. And I was like, this is strange. Like, what if they're a cop? What's this? What? Next thing you know, the door opens, and I don't really get a full look at what the situation is,
mm-hmm.
but I know he goes in, and I get beckoned in, and so I go in, and he sits down in one chair over there, and I sit down in another chair by the side, and I'm like, we're in sort of a waiting room situation, but it's not a waiting room, it's this person's like kitchenette.
You know?
It's like a kitchen scenario, and it turns out, this guy's like, oh, yeah, this is my cousin. And I was like, okay. Wow, this is getting weirder. And then she comes out, and she's not really model as advertised. I would say that. This was a bit of a bait and switch on the lot. And it seems like I'm not even certain 100% that she's she for Ooh. Sure in this moment. And that's not in any way meant to be, you know, regressive or disrespectful. I'm just not entirely certain at this moment of what this person's sexuality, gender is. Right. So, and I'm like, well, you know, we're here. No, but I you know, and I'm also trying not to be a judgment. Like, this is just ridiculous. You have a liberal arts college dickhead just being like, listen, I don't want to jeopardize anybody. I don't want to put anybody in a box here. I don't want to, you know. And then I was like, something just struck me in the moment. And I was like, what are you doing? What's going on? Like, what's this scenario is so bizarre. And I just am like, you've got to get out of here. and I'm like, but now you're sitting here with a couple of family members, right? You've got a cousin of some kind who's like clearly from another land, and this woman who is from another land, and also confusing in their presentation. And I just, I was like, well, I, you know what? In fact, I've got to go. I've got, and I literally pull for the, like, you know what? I didn't realize, but I've got to go to work. And it was like, this isn't a land where there was like no, like, there was no like cell phone, like that yeah. I could have gotten a text or that there was news or anything. I just stood up in the middle of the room and was like, someone's, I forgot that I've got to go to work. And they, she looked at me and didn't seem pleased with that information. Was like, oh God, does that mean that there's not going to be some sort of a money transaction here? And I was like, you know, I have some cash here, and let me share that with you for your time. And I put like $20 down on the table just for the hello, hi, how are you? And I just walked out of there, and I was like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, I was like, this is insanity. I'm like, you have to realize that when you put yourself in these situations, you're putting yourself in the center of a house of someone you don't know. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. What were you thinking? So I just beat feet.
Yeah.
I beat feet and you know, listen, it's tough. We're in a tricky time. I'm not saying that it was something that I'm just saying that it was bizarre. It was bizarre. And so I decided that I would take my leave. And I took my leave. I took my leave. And
you went back to work.
And I went directly home after that point. And
what time in the day was this?
Middle of the day. Which makes it even more terrifying. Like, it's literally like it's like episode of the it's like out of The Shining, you know?
Yeah.
And you're seeing stuff so clearly. And I'm just like, I remember in the background, in the deep background of her room that was behind in the way back, was some pornography going on.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh. And it just all added up so quickly in my mind, you know, and your brain just makes it is. It's you would mention the notion of the James Bond type of situation when you're just like, you do. It is sort of like degenerate James Bond, because in that moment you're like, bum 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 bum. Ba-dum. You're like, okay, deep background, there's some porno going on. Her lipstick is spread around her mouth like some sort of a pizza pie. This dude says he's her cousin. I have no idea if he's going to cut my throat entirely open. I am putting $20 in the centerest location of this room, and I am backing out and walking the fuck away. And I was just like, hey, sorry, I just feel like I got into a little too much of a party. And that was that. And I was just like, well, there you go. You learned your lesson, Mike. Don't read that newspaper.
Wow.
Telling that story brought back that was a very dark day. Just to see the visage of that. She had on I remember this now, that she had on a kimono style.
No way.
Yeah, the woman, and I was just like, that's not what you anticipated this to be. Things have changed. The scenario has changed, Mr. Bond, and you must get out. Oh, anyway, there you go.
LA Express. I used to beat off to that when I was like...
Sorry.
When you're little?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's so fucking.
It is like having a poor man.
What are you talking about? Why would that prompt that so? When I was little, I used to beat off to that. All right. Sorry. I spit up a little bit. Anyway. Whew. That's hilarious. That's another episode of It's All Bad. And if you're interested in being on the show, DM us at our Instagram and follow us and like us and please give us all the sweet attention that we so clearly need. You hear these stories, you know that we need help. So just be kind. Just be kind. Amazing. And that's it.
Yeah.
Night.
Should we get another one or?
Yeah.